Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
In the studio tonight, it's myself, the captain, filling in for Mark Edge tonight. It's
Riley.
And joining him, Peakless Mountaineer.
I just want to touch on this. Apparently, NATO fighter jets get green light to carry nukes as tension with Russia soars.
Ooh, this is a little crazy, Captain. Like, people, we're carrying nukes now? Like, I mean,
so part of me is like, first of all, I don't believe they weren't carrying nukes in the first place.
Yeah.
But let's just say they weren't. This would certainly be a significant development.
It would be. It's definitely sounding like an act of war. And we know that there are better ways to deal with life than going to an FCCing war.
Now, I do love making fun of the name of this plane. This is just the sub-headline here. The F-35A Joint Strike Fighter makes it sound like they're dropping a bunch of marijuana on people.
Yeah.
Right? We're striking you with joints, man. How many joints can we drop on this, you know, brown country?
Hopefully enough to get him high, you know?
I swear, man, like, I just think the world would be a better place if everybody just partook and smoked a joint every now and again.
I did too. I think cannabis is a very beautiful plant. She's a very healing, connecting plant. And, you know, sometimes she just wakes people up if they're really wanting to pay attention to her.
Or even just like as a stress reliever, as a relaxant, you know?
Of course, dude.
Like an indica or something, like before you watch a movie or something. You know, just, I mean, I know very few people that doesn't like relax. Some people will say, well, when I smoke marijuana, all it does is put me to sleep. Great.
Yeah, go to sleep.
You need it, right? Obviously, your body is going, man, I need this sleep right now, and marijuana is helping me, right? So, like, right. It has so many medicinal qualities, from everything to, like, cancer treatment to a sleep aid, right? That kind of a thing. It has been demonized for so long.
It has. Like, and I look at cannabis, I guess, a little different than most people do. I look at it as like a spiritual tool. In other words, it's a tool to help you connect with yourself and deeper into your heart space and mind space and expand your creativity and expand who you are as a human being to realize that we're all connected as human beings, like the mycelium network of mushrooms and things like that.
Yeah, totally.
But we have to function as individuals because that's who we are.
That is a fact. I titled the show tonight Shapeshift, Nukes, Currency, and Jobs. Hopefully we get to all of these topics. That's not just one topic. That's, you know, several topics.
Oh, yeah.
So we've talked about the nukes briefly. We can come back to that. I really want to get Peakless's opinion on that because he brought it in for the show prep. So we'll wait a little bit. I also have from the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, straight off of SEC.gov's website. On today's episode of As the Crypto World Turns, statement on Shapeshift AG. For those of you who follow cryptocurrency and have followed the show for some time, we often talk about things like Bitcoin and cryptocurrencies and exchanges and wallets how to protect your wealth. And
yes, protecting our wealth is the most important thing we can do. But at the same time, how do we find this balance where we're not just protecting our wealth just for us, because we could lose it at any moment? We're protecting it for future generations to enjoy.
Well, and for me at least, hard goods, you know, gold, silver, that type of thing, and cryptocurrency are a method in which to protect your wealth.
Yes.
Not necessarily from other individuals, but from government specifically.
Absolutely. And that's why I value the idea of Bitcoin. Bitcoin is pseudo-anonymous. In other words, if we know your address, we can find out who's connected to that wallet.
Right.
And that's a little scary because an AI is coming in to find out how to solve the Bitcoin dilemma for the government.
Well, and I'm very, very curious to see what happens when these AIs become so advanced that they begin to trade with each other.
Yeah.
Because what currency, I'm not asking you specifically, Riley, but what currency do you, the listener, think AI is going to choose? is AI going to get up and get in the car and drive down the road to a bank and open a bank account with some cash?
Because, I would think not.
Because, I mean, first of all, it can't produce identification. Right. So the bank it will be like, screw you, we're not opening an account unless you have identification. So they're going to AI will encounter all these roadblocks to transacting in value, whereas digital currency, cryptocurrency, that is already free for them to adopt. It does not require you to be a human being to transact in cryptocurrency.
When you give people the illusion of choice, they don't realize they're absolute slaves. And it makes me think about these high-demand fundamentalist religion types out there that want to claim that their religion is the one true religion in the name of a god and go out and convert others to that belief when I believe that truth is self-evident.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that statement more.
You don't have to convince too many people of the truth. They're going to find it. It may take them a while to figure it out.
Yeah, if what you were saying was true, you wouldn't have to shoot us over it.
Exactly.
If what you were suggesting was a good idea, you wouldn't have to jail us for not doing it.
Exactly. Right? You don't have to threaten people or coerce them to believe the way you do. You don't have to threaten them with a horrible afterlife in order to get them to comply either.
Right. And what you can do is just show them this works better. So, for example, we have said, end the Fed for many years, but frankly, even that wouldn't be sufficient. But what actually ended up working is when a bunch of very brilliant cypherpunks worked overtime for free for human beneficence to create cryptocurrency. So we did a different thing. We showed a new way of doing things where instead of having a controlled center that tells people how rich and how poor they are at any given time and can just print up wealth for themselves, instead we have a fair system where everyone gets to earn that wealth.
And that would be the best thing of all, to have a fair system where that happens.
Right.
Just as a segue and a sort of a public service message to our listeners, more to our watchers than our listeners. If you're watching over at watch.freetalklive.com or over at twitch.freetalklive.com, if you want to get yourself an official Crown of Shame replica that you too can wear at home if you're late for stuff, you just need to go visit. This is not a paid advertisement in any way, shape, or form. Visit your local Bourgeois King, also known as Burger King.
Yeah.
And ask them for the Whopper Crown. And then you just, to make it an official Free Talk Live Crown of Shame, you simply just put it on your head upside down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You don't wear it like a regular crown. You got to put it upside down.
Right. That's true.
Because then it shows the absolute contempt for authority that freedom has to be.
Yeah. When you're a free man, being late is fine.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
And the benefit of having
some of us more often than others.
Yeah.
We're not going to mention names, Captain.
Oh, sorry. I was just hurling shade in his general direction.
Okay.
All right. You go ahead and cast shade, but I'm the one who's casting it first.
Oh.
I mean,
it was a short joke.
To be fair,
I'm not very good at them. I don't do them often.
To be fair, I think you just like wearing the Crown of Shame.
He probably does.
I think you think it's a beneficial part of your attire.
Yeah,
wardrobe wouldn't be the same.
In case you're curious, my gas gauge has not worked in a few years at this point, and dawned on me at the wrong time that I did not get gas for this across the entire state and back journey.
Like, I wonder if I have enough fuel to get there.
Then you have to take that gamble.
And rather than wondering, I figured, it's better to be late than to be stuck halfway there.
Correct.
Yeah, yes. It is.
Very well.
It is.
Yep. We agree.
And the upside of having good money, which would be, showing people a better way instead of forcing them to do a better way, is that you wouldn't have so much extra money that you create nuclear weapons.
Hmm. We have. I don't know if you were able to listen to the beginning of the show or not.
I was not.
But we have, you brought in a thing about some nukes, and we won't talk about it. We teased it already, like,
yeah,
at the
we were teasing
top of the
it,
hour.
We're teasing it for the listeners.
We wanted to make sure you were here before we started discussing
it. I don't know
it.
if anyone else, like, watched the State of the Union.
No. I'm sorry, it's called the Stain of the Union.
Yeah, there's a better title for the Stain of the Union.
Because it is just a big stain.
Who wants to watch a crepit old man totter on about nothing? About
I do, and I'll tell you why.
A story.
I'll tell
you
why. Yes, I did.
Okay, I did not.
I would like to know exactly how close to annihilation we are at the time. And for one thing, what is that guy on? Because, like, that first 50, 55 minutes, he was, like, full of pep and energy and, like, got his words right. And then he started doing that thing where he, like, stares off to the side and, like, his jaw drops and he's like, what in the hell is going on?
He just did a couple lines with Hunter before the thing. It's Jerome calling from South Carolina. Jerome, you're on Free Talk Live.
It's alive! It's alive!
What's alive, Jerome? What's alive, brother?
Trump what? Train, choo choo.
It's alive.
welcome.
That Trump train. That Trump train. That's a weird ass train.
Weird ass train.
That's a weird train. That's a $500 million train. Can you afford the ticket? Can you afford to ride?
Well, what about
the
what about the senile train, right? I mean, Joe Biden's clearly
on the senile train. They're all demented. Demented.
Hey, have you seen some of Trump's speeches? I got you senile, all right.
I don't watch Trump because he's too demented for my taste. So I'm not interested in watching
I actually don't care about either Trump or Biden, but you already knew that.
Hey, by the way, he's going to let Russia. I'm going to just let them do what they want to do. I said, yeah, it reminds me of that old thing. Today, they come for me. Tomorrow, they'll come for you. Okay? Just remember that.
Well, who are they?
Yeah, I'm going to let them do what they want to do.
Yeah, but who are they? They are always government.
Exactly.
That's who comes for you.
He's talking about Russia. He's talking about his baby daddy, Vladimir Putin. That's what he's talking about. That's his daddy.
Vladimir Putin baby's daddy.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Who's your daddy? Oh, my daddy is Vladimir Putin. Who's your daddy? Yeah.
Well, hold on. I'm confused. Is it Trump's daddy or Trump's baby daddy? We need to be clear about, or both.
Either one. Which one do you like better?
Neither. I prefer neither.
I'm my own grandpa. You ever hear that song? From the Demento Show?
I got to tell you, Jerome, like, considering the power of these people, they might just have some kind of weird Arnold Schwarzenegger in junior level technology where they can impregnate a man. So Trump might have Putin's love child. So don't scare me with these things.
Hey, as a church lady once said, could it be sexual?
Church chat.
Huh? Could it be Satan?
Perhaps the almighty god of the underworld, Satan?
Oh, boy.
You put a quarter in us, Jerome.
Oh, boy. Yeah. He's winding us up, brother.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of this one time I was high at Home Depot.
Oh.
Uh-oh.
Hang on.
Hey, 7 seconds. Excuse me.
That's right. I had to get that flute in there.
Yeah.
Right.
The flute's important.
Reminds you of that song, I'm a toker, I'm a smoker, I'm a man. You ever heard that song?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Of course you have.
Oh, yeah.
Of course we have.
Of course you have. You've lived it.
Yeah, I'm trying. I am actively trying to bring toker back into common parlance. Toker, yeah. Toking, and to take a toke. No one talks about taking a toke.
No, they don't, do they?
It's just smoking, which is a really vague term. What are you smoking? Could be crack. Could be Hunter Biden.
I know what Trump's smoking. I know what Trump's smoking.
What's he smoking?
What is Trump smoking?
Whatever he's smoking, I don't want it. That's what he's smoking.
Hey, Jerome, did you watch?
By the way,
did you watch the Stain of the Union address?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, don't give me that. Hey, do you watch any of Trump's campaign speeches? Oh,
nope.
You know what my
never.
Favorite new one is? My favorite.
You don't have one because you hate Trump.
The the conservative black caucus in South Carolina. You know what he said to them? Which one do y'all want? You want the black president or you want the white president? Huh?
Wait, like, so
that's my new favorite one now.
Wait, so you actually watch Trump's campaign speeches?
I'm surprised,
no,
Jerome.
They played some excerpts from one of his latest masterful campaign speeches.
Oh, you just watched the highlights. You're like a sports guy, right? Yeah, you know, you just watched the highlights.
He just watched the highlights, yeah. He wants to think he's in the right.
Most folks, I'll bring up something like, look at the cycles of empire, right? Do some history, right? But really, you only need to look at one. That's Rome, right? Just look at Rome. Find, like, you know, the top five things during the collapse of Rome and see if you can identify them happening here today. You can. It's easy. They're pretty right in your face about it, right? There's no – and, like, what we don't seem to be able to do as a species is learn from the past.
Right.
Right? Because this has all happened before, and it looks like it's all going to happen again. And the hope, of course, is that we can spread this message of freedom and peace and liberty and prosperity, so much so that when the empire finally does collapse, that we don't need another one.
Right.
The study of history isn't important because we don't need to know the names and dates and why things happened. Well, we do need to know the why, so we don't need to repeat it. But the important thing is we study these things so we are aware of them, so we do not go down this road time and time again. And we continue to go down this road because we pretend that we are in the right. And our side is in the right. We're not inflicting tyranny. And yet, tyranny happened in 2020. And it's going to continue to happen unless people say no.
Yeah.
And there's no greater spectacle of human beings and their desire to be right than social media.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
It's where just people like, get opponents. Right.
No, you're wrong. This is why you're wrong.
Well,
and
this is why, like, if you actually look into it, a big part of the original funding and surprising amount of the original technologies for Facebook have their roots in the defense research programs. Like DARPA and InQtel are major points of origin for Facebook because these are extremely effective tools at, number one, spying on people, and number two, turning people whose natural inclinations is to be on each other's side against each other. Like, it is anyone who's being peaceful, I don't have to agree with what you believe.
Right.
I just have to be okay with what you're doing.
Right, yeah.
And as long as what you're doing is peaceful, then we can work together.
Right.
And that is our natural inclination.
If you don't want to harm me and you're not and your intention is not to harm me and you're actively choosing to not harm me every day by violating property rights or whatever, then we can get along great. But the moment you think, I have to have your wealth and I need an agent to obtain that wealth, and I'm going to call it a tax.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I draw the line.
Yeah, instead of doing something to earn the money, which is something governments, near as I can tell, have never done. They've never done anything to earn it.
Right.
We're providing
them all services like roads and post offices.
We've got some military guys to protect from invasion. Well, do you? Is that what you're really doing with that? Or are you engaging in murder?
Yeah.
Genocide in empire building with the couple hundred that we know of bases around planet Earth,
mm-hmm.
right? That's more than any other empire in all of history. The United States of America right now is the largest empire planet Earth has ever known.
Yes.
Yeah. America never leaves. When they move into a country, they always leave behind their military bases, and those are always stocked just in case we have to take your country over again.
Yes. You know, it's been said that the British aren't the sun never set on the British Empire, and yet the American Empire has turned into the British Empire.
You know, it is surprising how similar those are, to the point that, like, when you actually start looking into this stuff, like, they're basically inextricable. Like, there's this thing called the Five Eyes Network, and that's it's the CIA and all of the American intelligence. It's MI6 and all of the British intelligence. Canada, New Zealand, and Australia, right?
Yeah.
So all of the you know, big British Empire countries are part of a single intelligence apparatus. And that seems to be a huge part of what's running things in the first place. So, like, I mean, we had this American Revolution, but if you actually look at it, like, they never let us go.
No,
they have been working very hard to continue to dominate and to instruct America on what it's going to do ever since. And at this point, you can't tell the difference between the American banking system and the British banking system.
It's Animal Farm, ladies and gentlemen. It's Animal Farm all over again. We have become the empire we seceded from.
Right.
I believe this is Bobby calling from Florida. Bobby, you're on Free Talk Live.
What's up, Captain Kickass? How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man. What's on your mind?
Oh, man. Topic's been pretty good. You know, everybody's talking about the State of the Union, and a lot of the opinions are, you know, so-so, and everybody's going to, you know, have their opinion on it. But in the spirit of Free Talk Live, I want to talk about your parody songs. I got all your parody songs. I wasn't able to get them off your website or buy them, you know, at Porkfest from you.
Yeah.
But I was able to get them and listen to them.
Sweet.
But here's the thing. Do you know Bubba the Love Sponge?
I do. One of my metal bands, I don't know, a decade or so ago, got the Bubba the Love Sponge independent band review, which was hilarious,
by
the
way. Yeah, that was great. That was great. He would shoot people with paintballs if they sucked.
Yeah. Yeah, he was...
you guys get shot with paintballs?
We did not get shot with paintballs. However, we did. He did call my singer a snake charmer because we had this sort of, you know, I don't know how to describe it. It had this sort of Middle Eastern vibe to like one of the intros of the songs. He's like, "What is this guy, a snake charmer?"
Oh man, you know what sucks? Now he has video. Probably back then they didn't have the online streaming because he was wanting to, because he owns the rights to a show.
Yeah,
and so he wasn't wanting to stream at the time. So I don't think, because I used to, that at some point, like 17, 18, 19, they used to stream it and you could watch it. Oh. But I know back in the day, they didn't record it. Well, they might have recorded, but they weren't streaming it live on the internet. So I don't know if I saw that one, but I've seen a lot of the reviews and seen him get shot with the paintball. Was yours getting recorded and on the internet? What year was this?
Oh my gosh, man. 2009, maybe?
Yeah, they didn't have any of that.
And I think
so, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think they were being broadcast on Sirius at that time.
Oh, yeah, that's the biggest, man.
Yeah. So it was fun. Well, thanks.
Yeah, so with Bubba Love Sponge, so I make parody songs for, like, you know, Manson?
Like Marilyn Manson?
From Bubba Love Sponge. Manson from the Bubba Love Sponge.
Oh, from the Bubba. I don't know him personally, no.
Do you know him?
Are you familiar with the existence of the person known as?
That is true. Yes, I am familiar with his existence.
Okay. Well, he's off the show now, but he did parody songs. Well, I used to make the music videos for his parody songs.
Oh, awesome.
To put up in himself. And now the new dude that does the parody songs, Dark Match Steve, he's okay, but you know, like Manson was like a true professional. He got paid lots of money to do his. But now the guy that does, now he does it for free because it's just for fun. It's fan art, you know?
Yep.
And he's pretty good. You know, he's pretty good for amateur, you know? And anyways, but he's not like that professional at Manson or whatever, or he's not on the level of you know what I mean? But dude, if you wanted to start doing some parody songs, you know, like related to, you know, certain things and, you know, maybe even with the show. I can make, you know, the music videos with it, and you can get your name and your artwork out that way, dude, because he gets tickets to Barb and everything. He don't get paid.
Bobby's got skills, he says.
$200,000 a year.
That's good.
Yeah, Manson used to get Manson, he was really good. He used to get paid $200,000 a year on Sirius and all that to do the parodies, but now Bubba, he doesn't have as big of a, he's not on Sirius anymore, so, you know, it's just terrestrial, and he's doing the best he can, you know. That's just radio nowadays, brother.
I'm actually afraid of one of my parodies, like, getting, you know, the viral treatment one of these days. I haven't had, enough to, like, to say that I've made money at it. Would be a lie. I have not made money at doing parody songs. I've put way more money into it.
It's my art.
Right, yeah. And for me, too.
That's how it goes.
But I'm afraid that at some point, one of these is going to kick off, and, you know, it'll be the right time, the right place, and it'll go viral, and that's when the fun will just begin, because then, like, lawyers will start talking to people, and, you know, I'll have to, like, you know, probably lawyer up. And the thing about parody music is that it is covered by what's called fair use. And if anybody out there listening wants to look up fair use, indeed, parody, pastiche, even like stuff like sports clips, when they play it on your local news, they don't get permission from anybody to replay those. They just use those under what's known as fair use. So, but the thing about fair use is it can only be invoked as a legal defense. So that is to say, somebody has to be upset enough with you having made fun of their song or changed the lyrics or whatever it is that, you know, that you like to do or that I like to do. And they have to be upset enough to, like, call their lawyer and then have their lawyer basically call me and be like, hey, we're upset with you that you did a thing and you made fun of our song. And then I would have to probably get a lawyer and have my lawyer go, well, that's fine because it's fair use, and here's the law that says that, and, you know, you'll get laughed out of court if you want to press this any further. That's the idea. Like, but it can only be invoked once somebody else has accused you of something. Looks like it's Florida Day. Let's move to Tim in Florida. Tim, you're on Free Talk Live.
You know, I was trying to listen to Bobby from Florida, and I was trying to hit my vape pen. I got a Gorilla Glue cartridge.
Oh.
And,
well, then.
Man, they're coming up with some weird flavors these days.
I know.
Like, isn't Gorilla Glue an actual brand of glue?
Yes,
it is.
Yeah, yeah. But no, but it's a live resin, so it's a little bit. I really like flower better, but.
Oh, flower is definitely better.
It's political around here with the smell.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, if you have a decent enough vape, it is supposed to be healthier for you because you're not inhaling all those carbon particles.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I mean, pick your poison. You might be inhaling bits of metal, or if you, you know, just light a thing on fire, you're inhaling bits of carbon.
Yep.
Yeah, well, I was listening to Bobby, and I, his voice sounds really familiar to me, and I'm trying to remember. I've been trying to remember for a long time.
Claims to have something to do, or did something with radio, so perhaps that's the connection.
Who knows?
Who, Bobby?
Yeah. He claims he was doing videos for, like, Manson, the guy on Bubba the Love Sponge show who did parody music.
Yeah, I wouldn't know him. I mean, I've heard Bubba the Love Sponge on the radio, but okay. I never got into it. But no, for a long time I was trying to remember, man, when did I first hear a Free Talk Live? And I cannot pinpoint it for the life of me.
We've always been there.
Yeah, I also cannot remember the first episode of Free Talk Live that I ever listened to. Like, it's eerie in that way that, like, it seems like I've always been listening to and then now participating in, right, for the last 5 years or whatever it's been.
Oh, I totally can.
You can remember the first show?
Absolutely.
What was it?
Yeah, no, it was, they did the really weird thing of actually have it, like, every now and again, we actually have a guest that we, like, devote the entire segment to.
Right.
And it was Stefan Molyneux.
That's right. He was on this. I know that, like, early on, I was watching Stefan's videos, like, even before he caught on with libertarians, where he was doing, like, his talks, like, when he left work, because he was working, like, a corporate job.
I haven't seen that.
And so he would be in his car with just, like, his phone. Like, he had a long commute. He had, like, an hour's commute. So he would just record these I don't want to call them diatribes, but he would just speak to his listeners.
I think diatribe is an accurate description.
Okay, he would record these, but videos, so he'd post them on the YouTube or whatever, and that's how he attracted followers. And back in the day, before Google bought YouTube, a guy could actually make some money off of the advertisements provided by YouTube. And so he gained enough, you know, followers or whatever, and then he turned that into a show. So I remember following his stuff about anarchism, but I caught wind of him through some other show. Might have even been like Alex Jones or something like that that Molyneux was on.
I forget where I ran into. I know that it was because he called himself a philosopher,
right,
that I'd run into him in the first place. Because now I had just come from the sort of anarcho-primitivist and anarcho-communist side of things.
Okay.
But then I'd actually tried it out, and it turns out that nature isn't trying to feed you. And therefore, society is not actually getting in the way of nature trying to feed you.
Yeah.
So I kind of had to reestablish my worldview. So here was someone who, like, spoke philosophy and logic and anarchy. And so I kind of went down the Molyneux path for a long time, which was useful to a point because, I mean, he has a very structured way of thinking.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
Let's go to this nukes bit, because
kind of the most important thing going on in the world right now is the possibility that all human life might extinguish itself at any moment. Because we decided that the best thing to do with all of our power was to hand it to the most psychopathic among us.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. and Mrs. America, guess who was the first country to use an atomic bomb?
I give up.
The United States.
I knew that.
The United
guess
States.
Guess who was the last country?
It was the first and last to use an atomic bomb. Yeah. We don't need to go there. We saw how many people died. It was horrifying.
Although, as a kid, one of my friends had a very fat mom. We called her the Atomic Mom.
Ah.
Because, you know, that mom,
would
have bomb.
I would think she was really, really tiny.
No. No, she was large as a bomb. Gonna leave a crater.
Oh, no.
We were horrible children. Mm. This from express.co.uk. NATO fighter jets get green light to carry nukes as tension with Russia soars. The F-35A Joint Strike Fighter, they're not dropping a bunch of joints on you, has been certified to carry thermonuclear weapons as tensions between Russia and NATO hit a breaking point. Now, first of all, I'm of the opinion that they've been carrying nukes this whole time. Now, I have no evidence for that. I just say that because I find it very unlikely that a thing built to carry a nuke isn't.
Well, so they actually have dual use. So that they are specifically designed to carry both traditional and nuclear payloads.
I see.
So that the same missile launcher can, in fact, do either.
All right. Well, let's get into this a little bit. A NATO stealth fighter has been certified to carry nukes, including the terrifying B-61-12 thermonuclear gravity bomb, as tensions between NATO and Russia hit a boiling point. The F-35A Joint Strike Fighter has become the first stealth fighter of its class to be green-lit to carry nuclear weapons.
And by boiling point, they mean it's becoming increasingly obvious that Ukraine never had a chance of winning this. And NATO doesn't want to have lost this.
No, they don't. They want to give people the illusion that they're still the strength and the dominant power in the world.
Yeah.
What does NATO stand for? North American Treaty Organization?
North Atlantic. Yeah. North Atlantic Trade Organization, which is why it's so important that we include, you know, Japan as a member.
I think I've tried this before, and I think I had the Northern Egregious Atlantic Treaty Organizations. So
yeah,
that we could
that's
spell
far
it,
more accurate.
So we could spell it NATO.
That yeah. would be a better way to spell it.
Yeah, and that was one of the things that the State of the Union was bragging about. Like, yeah, we just got Sweden into NATO. It's like,
wow, congratulations.
Oh, you mean these disastrous military alliances that are exactly how we got into the last two world wars.
It's just ridiculous. And we keep falling for it for some stupid reason. What do we think? Our saviors come back and we keep killing each other?
Right?
It's just silly.
And we already had a scare on this. Like, there was already a Ukrainian explosion in Poland that the Ukrainians, of course, blamed on the Russians. So why in the name of God are you putting nuclear weapons on a hair trigger? This is insane.
It is insane. It's really dangerous.
And in case someone out there is like, well, you know, it's not that bad. So there's this thing that can happen where you blow up enough nuclear bombs that it launches so much dust into the air that all of the plants on the planet die from lack of sunlight. That is what we are talking about happening here.
And that is absolutely horrifying. I know that in 1814, there was a volcanic eruption that really affected the winters here in the Northeast United States. It was known as the summer that never, or the summer that froze to death, or something like that. It was 1816, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about that kind of raw power in a weapon that mankind has produced to kill each other with.
Yeah. And the thing about nukes, no one can have just one.
No.
Like, once
they're like,
this,
they're like Lay's potato chips.
They are. They are, in fact, the evil Lay's potato chip of bombs. But yeah, once one of these things goes off, they have automated systems to fire others.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah,
and crazy. It's really scary what
like that,
we've become.
That's why they have this thing where they like let each other know, hey, I'm going to be doing some nuclear testing over here at this time. Please don't accidentally end the world. So that these automated systems don't just, you know, kill everyone on Earth.
It is impossible for you to be a principled person and be a member of the police.
Yeah.
You will be put in a position to compromise your principles, and you will be forced to compromise your principles. And then you wonder why so many police beat their spouse or become raging alcoholics and drug addicts. You wonder why they come around to like, well, if all this corruption is going on and I'm part of this thing that is corrupt, then I might as well do participate in some corruption too.
Yeah.
And now you've turned somebody who went in for what I would call noble intent. Right. They're like, I want to make a difference in my community. I want to be a good person. I want to, you know, help out. And so they join what turns them into an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Right. The organization, it's impossible for you to remain a principled person and be a police officer because you have to enforce unjust laws.
Yeah. It's that's, really that simple.
That's really the bottom line. So to your point, Riley, yes, people get involved. Again, noble intent, right?
Yep.
People want to do something right. You know, they grew up thinking, you know, oh, this is a thing I can do. It's I'm serving the community or whatever, right? And we've talked to former police here on this show who, and former military too, who like went in and realized what was going on. Like, yeah, I just realized that like I was compromising my principles as a person. And so I got out.
Yeah. And a lot of them, once they start realizing that they're compromising, they hedge to themselves. They sort of like, well, I mean, I did this, but most of what I'm doing is good.
Right,
and most of
right.
what I'm doing is so important that we could not live without it. And actually, no, we absolutely could. You are enforcing a monopoly of protection services.
And that's
that
the thing,
is all.
And that's the thing to remember is that the police force is a monopoly.
Yeah.
They are the monopoly on protection in America.
Yeah. And well, what would you do without police? Here's exactly what I would do without police. Number one, I would protect myself. Number two, I would protect my friends. Number three, we would form protection agencies that competed voluntarily so that when this protection agency or that protective agency does weird things like blows up your house trying to catch a mugger or, you know, just slaughters black people in the street or, you know, whatever
it's
kind of horrible behavior,
like that,
you know, steals people's money for no real reason.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When they do that, you stop paying them. And you pay their competitors instead.
Right.
And then their competitors have all of the money. And they just either stop doing this terrible stuff or they stop having a job.
Yeah. Government, police, politicians, city workers, parks department people, all of the organizations that fall under government, quote unquote, are all monopolies. Every one of them. That is to say, you cannot compete in those areas. They're the only services that you can't fire. And they're like, well, you got to vote them out. Well, how'd they get in?
Yeah.
You voted them in.
The people put them in.
So, like, no, you're not going to vote them out because these agencies stay regardless of who the rotating person is in the chair.
Yep.
In the throne of your community or, you know, of your nation. It's the chair that's the problem, not the person sitting in it. A good person cannot sit in the chair without becoming unprincipled.
Yeah.
That's true. And it's really hard, especially in the system, to be a good person because eventually you're going to lose your principles
Right.
No,
right. I mean, you know,
hard.
They always
it's
call
impossible,
it,
in my opinion. Like, yeah, I don't think it's possible.
It's impossible. I mean, they always say, oh, well, it's just a few bad apples. Well, guess what a few bad apples
they
does?
Spoil the bunch.
Right. Every time, without exception, yeah. They create a culture where they have separated themselves from ordinary human beings. We are a different kind of people than them.
Yep.
Therefore, we are afforded rights that they are not afforded. We are better than them, and they just ought to appreciate more what we're doing for them. Well, I got news for you. You're not doing anything for me. You're not doing anything for me except stopping competition in that same realm. And I'll tell you what, if we had competition in security services, we wouldn't have an investigative agency that throws away, oh, I'm sorry, loses the Epstein client list.
How did that happen?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know where it went. You know, and it was in the safe. We had it. And then it's just gone.
We don't even know. It was on a hard drive that we don't know what happened to.
Yeah, no, it definitely wasn't the fact that all of the people in power on that list are their superiors and the ones that they want to stay in power. That has nothing to do with it. No, in a situation with competition, that wouldn't occur. Or at the least, that wouldn't be the norm.
And it's gone.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. What's her name? Maxwell?
Yeah, Ghislaine.
Ghislaine Guillaume. Whatever. Maxwell, the only person everybody convicted of trafficking minors to... Question mark?
Yeah. She trafficked minors, not to anybody. Just trafficked them.
They didn't go anywhere. They had to have gone somewhere. Otherwise, they couldn't get her for trafficking. But where did they go?
Yeah, no one ordered them. No one received them. But, you know, they were delivered
to?
For money. Don't ask whose money. Yeah. Ain't that convenient for the powers that be?
Very convenient.
Yeah.
Very convenient indeed.
And the reason that we will never get to the bottom of this is because this blackmail network is what runs the world.
On today's episode of As the Crypto World Turns, that's literally the headline from what appears to be the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission's website. Statement. From Commissioner Hester M. Pierce and Commissioner Mark T. Ueda, March 5th, 2024. The Commission's enforcement action against Shapeshift is the latest installment in the serial drama of the Commission's poorly conceived crypto policy. The current episode recounts the take of an early innovator in the market for crypto assets. In August 2014, Shapeshift AG started an online platform that facilitated trading in crypto assets. Shapeshift sold from its own inventory, thus acting as a counterparty to both the buyer and seller, and generated revenue on the spread, the difference between its cost to acquire the crypto asset and the price at which it sold the acquired asset. Shapeshift operated this way for more than 6 years before announcing in January 2021 that it would be changing its business model. For those of you who don't know, they sort of became a DAO.
Decentralized autonomous organization.
Moved out of the U.S.
ADAO, not the DAO.
Not the, right, yes.
Yeah.
Customers would no longer be able to exchange crypto assets directly through the platform, and Shapeshift would no longer act as the counterparty to any customer transactions. Before this change, the platform traded in at least 79 crypto assets, facilitated as many as 20,000 daily transactions. So again, 2014, right? 2021 at the latest when they changed their business model.
Mm-hmm.
The commission's order instituting proceedings finds that Shapeshift violated Section 15A of the Securities Exchange Act of 1934 because it should have registered as a securities dealer.
Oh.
The Securities Exchange Act defines a dealer as any person engaged in the business of buying and selling securities for such person's own account, through a broker or otherwise.
You should have known that we would classify this new technology as a security. I mean, we didn't, which is why, you know, for example, the commodities regulators said, no, this is definitely a commodity. But you should have known that it was also a security, and therefore that you had to fill out this paperwork.
This statement continues. Shapeshift meets this definition, according to the commission, because the crypto assets offered by Shapeshift included those. that were offered and sold as investment contracts and therefore securities under SEC versus W.J. Howey Co. 328 U.S. 293, 1946. The commission's order, however, fails to identify which crypto assets were investment contracts and provides no explanation for its conclusion.
Well, no, that would be regulatory clarity.
In sum, Shapeshift is in trouble because the commission, nearly 10 years after Shapeshift's platform started trading and more than 3 years after it changed its business model, now contends that some unidentified number of the 79 crypto assets it traded between 2014 and 2021 were investment contracts without explaining why.
Oh.
Notably, wow. The commission does not allege any harm.
Well, of course not.
Shapeshift and its customers voluntarily transacted, and the order nowhere alleges that Shapeshift defrauded its customers. This enforcement action underscores the adverse consequences of the commission's approach to regulation in the crypto space and adds to the ambiguity that hangs over the crypto world. This is what you were getting at, Peakless.
Mm-hmm.
It is entirely unclear how Shapeshift was to discern that the commission would consider crypto assets generally, and any crypto asset in particular, a security in the form of an investment contract. Even now, 10 years on, it's hardly more discernible. But perhaps that ambiguity is exactly the result the commission wants. Now, the next person who comes up with an idea for building something to help people buy or sell crypto will think twice. Why spend time and effort creating something only to face an enforcement action 10 years later? We have the infamous Mr. David Ridley on with us.
You can never go too quickly to Ridley.
You can never go too quickly to Ridley.
Is that your new slogan?
It sounds better than my song, I guess. But
yeah, but your song is also infamous, so.
Infamous? Infamous?
So, are you guys familiar with Silver Dave?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So, you know, like we have River Dave, we have Ridley Dave, and we also have Silver Dave.
Oh, yeah. Dave. Wow, just a collection of Daves.
I know, Dave.
But
this actually.
So he,
go ahead.
He is a liberty activist in where? Or Henniker, New Hampshire? I'm not sure.
Yes.
Exactly.
I believe he has a retail location in where. It's spelled We Are, but it's pronounced Where.
And he's a silver store. He was just a guest, I guess, this week or last on the Howie Carr show.
Cool.
Carr, for those not in the Northeast, he's probably the most important radio voice in the Northeast, or at least
that's
in New
pretty
England.
Cool.
Super cool.
Yeah. So I guess Dave had been advertising on that show for some period before that, and that probably contributed to him being a guest. But I guess they had him on to talk about silver, like just to educate people about how to protect themselves against inflation and stuff like that. It's really nice.
This is
his
area of
that.
Expertise.
You know, that's right exactly up his alley, and I'm so glad to hear that his entrepreneurial spirit is carrying on. I know this past Pork Fest, he showed up and went around to, I don't know all the sites, but a bunch of them, and we're like, hey, if you let me hang my poster advertising my silver here, I will give you this little Pork Fest, stamped piece of silver. And people were like, dude, hell yeah.
That's
why
so cool,
wouldn't
man.
I? And so I acquired some of those myself, the commemorative ones, at least, that were stamped Pork Fest. From there, like, he's just been expanding since then, and I'm looking forward to what he does in the future for sure.
And just a quick update on the market. I would be surprised if silver didn't start rising right about now, because gold went up, and usually that's how it goes, is that the gold market goes, then the silver market goes.
Ridley?
Nothing to add, except I hope he mentioned the Free State Project. I'm still listening to the show. I haven't listened all the way through it. But
yeah, I sure hope so.
When you get publicity like that, you've got to bring up the action item. Move to New Hampshire. Get up here.
Right.
Amen to that. Any other thoughts?
That is all.
Hey, how can people find you if they want to learn more about whatever you're up to?
Oh, I get to sing the song. RidleyReport.com.
All right.
Boom, 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 boom.
I saw this cryptocurrency coming largely because of people on the internet and particularly Free Talk Live talking about it way back in the day. And I went and read the white paper. I started following some people on it. I'm like, oh, I'll be an SOB if I'm going to miss out on this one. So I got some. I didn't get enough.
No one ever did.
Yeah, none of us ever did, Captain. Well, we do the best we can.
Yeah, and I'd say that at this point, we are sort of reaching the end of the beginning. Like, we are reaching the end of the phase where you can still just get involved in cryptocurrency and become fabulously wealthy. Now, the nice part of this is that it will never end, that this has introduced the fact that savings hasn't worked in a century. Like, right. People have had to save in land and stocks and bonds and things that are not dollars because those dollars get worthless. But this introduces savings permanently. And that ability will exist for posterity, that you can just put away a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time, put it in your own wallet,
yep.
Own your own coins, make sure you have your seed phrase, your keys, your private keys.
Yep.
But you can just put a little away, and then when the time comes to retire, you can just live off of the little bit and a little bit that you put away without having had to, you know, get a stock market guy involved. Now, that's going to be permanent.
Yeah.
But right now is the very end of the opportunity to just become fabulously wealthy by getting in on this.
Well, and what you've described is the phrase that you will hear if you start reading cryptocurrency periodicals or articles, stuff like that. Generational wealth.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's something most people, when they hear that phrase, they think of, you know, like the Rockefellers or like, you know, some wealthy family that's owned this business, you know, the salt mine for, you know, it's been in the family for 100 years or whatever, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's what most people think of generational wealth. Well, for the first time, any individual can expose themselves to generational wealth.
Yeah.
And that's the nice thing about cryptocurrency is when you expose yourself to more generational wealth, it gives you an opportunity to pass that generational wealth on to other people as best as you can.
Right.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that has never been available legally, because they will make specific laws of, no, if you put this away for your retirement, you have to take it out.
Right.
Oh, are you 71 and a half? Well, here's how much you got to take out. Here's how much you got to take out. We can't have you leaving that to your posterity. Right. We have to be able to retax it and tax it again. Whereas if you put it in your wallet, who's to know who has what where?
So circling back now to silver, because we were talking about Silver Dave and his interview, there will still be value in silver and gold, hard assets, diamonds, right? You know, all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Even these like these collector coins. Right. Where they're, you know, made of one of these precious metals, silver or gold or something. But like they're stamped with something, question mark. It's sports figure or some, mm-hmm. you know, commemorative thing or whatever. Right. That adds value to just the metal itself. Mm-hmm. Right. When it's commemorative or it's stamped with something, depending on how rare it is and how many of them were actually printed in these coins. So there's always going to be value in holding on to silver and gold, stuff like that, particularly fractionals. Of those, I like gold backs a lot because mm-hmm. of that, because it's spendable gold. I like fractional silver because it's small. You can carry around some quantity of it without it getting too heavy for you to transport, you know, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. And it's good for, you know, making smaller purchases, if you will. You're not going to show up at the closing of your real estate with a bag full of silver or gold, right?
Right.
But, like, you know, it still has its use, particularly in what people like to call SHTF situations, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, I don't know, nation collapse, dollar collapse, you know, even just run-of-the-mill natural disasters, mm-hmm. you know, earthquakes, right, wildfires, stuff like that. When you're cut off from civilization, when you're cut off from the just-in-time delivery of goods and services, because mm-hmm. it's rare that warehouses stock anything anymore, and if they do, it's out the door almost the minute it comes in.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good for those situations.
Yeah,
when you're out of power, communications are at a premium, you want to be able to trade with people, dollars aren't going to cut it.
Right.
Right. Cryptocurrency probably not going to do the trick.
Depends on how hard it hit the fan, but yeah.
But everyone will look at gold and silver and be like, okay, that's worth something.
Yeah, I got to tell you, for those situations, if we're talking about the grid is down situation, I have one currency that I believe in. Bullets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cartridges.
Yeah.
Oh, cartridges wow. filled with smokeless powder. Now, those are a beautiful trade item because you can use them for defense. You can use them to hunt. They last for a very long time. And it's very, very difficult to make in a situation like that.
As a whiskey drinker, I like to bring this up when people bring up bullets. It used to be back in the Old West, you would walk into the saloon and you would like the bartender to pour you some whiskey. And there's how much you want. I want a shot. And so they pour you a shot. And then you paid for it by handing them a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was currency.
Right.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more. All for free at freetalklive.com.